part of your line of scrimmage. For the Kansas City Chiefs, fortunately, they have a great guy up there in Chris Jones that can combat some of that power play. So that's going to be an interesting matchup. But I think the key is Andrew Luck really has to, you know, he has to manage the game well and knowing who he's playing, meaning Patrick Mahomes, how explosive that offense is. And I think if he can keep those guys off the field, he'll have a great shot at winning this game. Now, the Kansas City Chiefs, in my mind, I think, obviously, we talk about it, it's all about Patrick Mahomes, but at the same time, the way that the Colts play defense, the Colts, to me, they're going to try to take your run away. That's not what Kansas City want to do anyway. They don't want to run the ball. Now, when you talk about Kansas City throwing the ball, the Colts cannot sit back in zone and expect, you know, them to be able to play zone all game against Kansas City, because Tyreek Hill will burn up that zone. He's going to run up the middle of the field, and then Kelce and all the other guys are going to be able to eat. So it's going to be interesting to see if the Colts start to change up their defense a little bit, blitz them a little bit, mix up their coverages, because if they don't, I just see Patrick Mahomes going up and down the field throwing the football.
Great breakdown of the first of the two AFC matchups, and I want to take you to the other one with a slight twist with the Chargers at New England. The Patriots seem to me to be a little bit vulnerable offensively, and on the other side, Phillip Rivers, such a great career. Something that we've been kicking around LT is the question of Phillip Rivers in the Hall of Fame. Does he need to win this game and make a deep run to really cement his Canton enshrinement?
I don't think so. You know, I think Phillip is in a class with a guy like Dan Marino, in my opinion. Has all the numbers. He's taken his team to the playoffs a number of times. He has playoff wins.
Sure.
Unfortunately, he just hasn't won the big one. And that's similar like Dan Marino. Dan Marino is a Hall of Famer because of how he made everybody else great and how electric he was moving offenses and throwing the football. I look at Phillip Rivers in the same vein as Dan Marino.
The great LaDainian Tomlinson with us here on 95.7 The Game. A lot of talk this week with the Chargers heading to New England about that last time these two teams got together in the playoffs, 2007 at Foxborough. You were battling the serious knee injury. Phillip Rivers was battling the injury. Lowe was battling an injury, as he reminds us every single day we talk about that game. You guys had some serious matchups with the Patriots back in the day, and we've gotten Lowe's stories on this throughout the last week or so, but when you look back on this, even though it's been so many years, you still hate New England? Like, does that still run through your blood?
Well, yeah, I mean, there were missed opportunities there, especially in 2006 when we had them at home and we were up by 11, I think, with 9 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. You know, that's one that still stings, because in my mind, that was our best opportunity, you know, to win a championship, because we were all healthy that
no
year.
No question.
We had no injuries. We breezed through the regular season, man. It was a cakewalk, honestly. And we dominated New England that game.
They didn't give you the ball, Coach. You carried the ball five times in the second half. I'm still pissed.
No, I know. Hey, I hear you, brother. You're preaching to the choir, because you know you and I are on the same page when it goes to that.
Man, and McCree just fall down. We're winning, fall down. And let the best guy in that time, MVP of the league,
yeah,
carry the ball.
Just run out the clock. You know, we're about to play 9-on-7 at that point.
That's it, Daddy.
Get the ball back and turn low loose, Daddy. Turn him loose. Let him go up in there and hit one of those linebackers, Teddy Bruschi or somebody. Let him eat, Daddy.
Let's go, Daddy. Call on the dogs and piss on the fire. Let's ride.
LaDainian Tomlinson with us here on 95.7 The Game. Former teammate of yours, Drew Brees, set to take the field Sunday night in the finale of the divisional round weekend, going up against this Philadelphia Eagles team. I mean, by all metrics, this Eagles team is depleted. They are injured. They've had a rough season. And yet, sure enough, here they are coming off that win against the Bears. How dangerous of an out is this going to be for the Saints?
Man, it's amazing. It really is amazing what the Saints, the Eagles are doing. Yeah, because I thought this team was dead. I really did. Like, you know, kind of the last quarter of the season, I said, oh, the Eagles are done. And then somehow Nick Foles with his magic, you know, and I can't hate on Nick Foles too much, because he is a Texas guy, and that means – you know, he's tested, you know, with the best football, I should say. And so, but at the same time, this, it has to end this weekend. Like, you're going to New Orleans where they rarely lose, okay, for one. And the way their defense has played, New Orleans, has been up and down, but I still believe when they're playing in that dome, that defense plays out of his mind. And I just don't see the Eagles being able to score enough points to keep up with the Saints. I think, now, listen, it will be a closer game. It's not going to be a blowout. But I see this game as, you know, 28-19 type of game.
Wow, fascinating with the spread sitting there right at 8. LaDainian Tomlinson joining us here on 95.7 The Game. The Dallas Ram game, the one we haven't really yet discussed. Can Dallas feed Ezekiel Elliott enough to keep Jared Goff and that offense off the field and maybe stun the L.A. sports fans?
Well, I think that's the key, honestly. And when you look at the Rams' defense, they have had trouble stopping the run, you know, this season. And so we know that the Cowboys are going to test that run defense of the Rams. The key is, can they put the Cowboys in third and long situations, meaning on first and second down, hold Ezekiel to minimum yardage. You know, make it third and eight, make it third and seven, third and six. If the Cowboys live in that third and six plus area, then, you know, I think that's going to be a tough day for the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't see, depending on how healthy Todd Gurley is, I don't see the Rams moving the ball up and down the field on the Cowboys. Mm. That Cowboys defense, guys, is for real. I was at the Saints Cowboys game earlier in the year at the Cowboys, and I tell you, I saw that defense up and close. They are fast. They are physical, man. And I tell you, I think it's going to be a really good matchup.
I couldn't agree with you more. I'm looking forward to seeing that one, LT. LT, you know, we've had David Boston, you and I played on different teams, you know, where guys were unhappy and guys wanted to be traded. You know, Keenan McCardo wanted to leave Tampa and he got traded to us. What about a guy like Antonio Brown, a talent? I think arguably top two or three receivers in the league. You hear the Niners, some of the guys are wanting this guy on the team. How do you judge a guy, you know, how do you judge a guy that you see so many different things happening in Pittsburgh with the quarterback, with the offensive players, defensive players, head coaches? Is this a guy you bring in because of the talent?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, Lo, I'm about winning, you know, and if a guy can help me win on the field, we'll deal with the stuff in the locker room. You know, we always had, whether it was David Boston, you know, you name the guys that we have had that have had, you know, some quote-unquote troubles, they've been fine in our locker room because we had strong leadership. Now, you know, there's a certain – I don't think he would be able to go anywhere, obviously. But if you got strong leadership in the locker room and guys that are veterans that have been around and played football, then I see no problem with this guy is – still the best wide receiver in the National Football League. And he's going to make plays, and in my opinion, he's going to be dominant for another 4 or 5 years. And so I know the issues and all of that with Pittsburgh, but I think at the same time, sometimes, you know, a relationship is damaged where you just can't go back. And I think that's what has happened with him and Ben Roethlisberger. And they can't go back now. You have to separate the two. And that's just what it is. It happens from time to time.
LaDainian Tomlinson here on 95.7 The Game. The Raiders likely not playing in Oakland next season. A lot of destinations have been thrown out, including San Diego, the old Murph Qualcomm Stadium. What do you think about the potential of the Raiders playing their home schedule down in San Diego? How would that play down there, LT?
Yeah. I don't know. You know, I think they could. It could work, obviously, because the Raiders have fans everywhere. You know, but you know, the thing that we probably are missing here is it's probably. I mean, is it an upgrade from the Coliseum, Qualcomm? Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of the same, right? You know, like
pretty much.
The Raiders are complaining about the Coliseum being old and all that kind of stuff. It's going to be the same problem in San Diego that they're looking at, that they're complaining about. If I was the Raiders, and I know who cares what I think, you know, Mr. Davis has done a great job with the organization, but I would go ahead and try to get to Las Vegas and get a year up. You know, build that fan base in Las Vegas. Why couldn't you play at UNLV for a year? What would be wrong with that? You're already going to be there the following season, so why not just go there right now?
Mm. Great point. LT, I really, really appreciate you, man. I know you're a busy guy. You travel a lot. Kiss the wife and kids for me. If you had one pick this weekend, and you know what, someone wanted to make some money, which one game that you would say, I could see this game? If you won lock, what's the lock of the week?
Oh, man, you put me.
I know, Daddy. I had to do it to you.
But you know what?
Talk to me.
It's really
talk to me, Goose.
It's honestly, it's really an easy one. My lock is the Saints. You know, I really think the Saints are the class of the NFC. And I think they're going all the way to the Super Bowl. And here's the thing. They don't have to leave a dome, man, in order to win a championship. They're going to play at home throughout the playoffs, and then they go into the Super Bowl and play in another dome.
Great point.
Great points indeed. Hall of Famer and 2006 NFL MVP, a tremendous analyst for the NFL Network, one of the greatest to ever play the game, and good friends with our own Lorenzo Neal, LaDainian Tomlinson with us here on 95.7 The Game. Thank you so much, LT. We know you're busy. We always appreciate the time.
Hey, thanks, man. I love you guys' show, man. Appreciate it.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Yes, sir. It's a Football Friday brought to you by Mancini's Sleep World, Golden State Lumber, and Harris Ranch Beef here on 95.7 The Game. Gary St. Jean in about 10 minutes at 8:30. Snoop Dogg tickets to give away at 8:45, immediately followed by Beat the Bookie. As always, if you'd like to follow along with the program, you can do so on the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795. And a reminder, 95.7 The Game is your home for the NFL playoffs and Super Bowl. Divisional round coverage starts Saturday with Colts and Chiefs at 1 p.m. Fun little nugget here. Good friend of the program, Charles Haley, currently at DFW International Airport, Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport, standing outside of a gate in which people are boarding a plane to Los Angeles. He is wearing his Dallas Cowboys jersey, handing out Cowboys towels for all the fans as they fly from Dallas to L.A. Now, presumably some people on this flight are not going to the game, but whatever. Pretty cool. Whether you like the Cowboys or not, Charles Haley standing there in his jersey handing out towels to the fans flying to L.A.
That's super cool. Even to see a pro player of that level in his jersey is pretty fun on its own. I saw Marshawn Lynch in street clothes at the Southwest Terminal in Vegas one of the times that we took a trip. And just to see him there, people going up to him and saying hello. People like that, seeing famous people in airports.
There's a take. People like seeing famous people at airports.
They do.
Write that down.
Yeah. I mean, to see a low Neal at an airport obviously is a whole nother level.
That's presidential.
Yeah.
Well, even that, that was nice. That was good transition. You had him, and then you just switch it to me. But no.
No, he did have it. And I
loved it.
I felt it as if we had gone on too long without really making it about you. And really shining a bright light on how great you are.
Joe, that was good.
Some of my favorite moments on this show are where I bring up things that no one sees coming. Like, I just stumbled across the Haley thing, so I throw it out, and then I throw it over to you guys, and it's like you haven't had time to think about it. So just watching you work your way through your response.
And then...
Yeah, I probably would have been better off letting Lowe respond, because his responses are always far better anyway.
I'm just listening. It's just a light transitional story, but I couldn't help myself when you were like, "That's nice." You know, people like seeing celebrities at airports.
Yeah, I probably fell short of the bar there. I didn't really have enough there.
What else are you going to say? Are you going to come out and go, "Haley really shouldn't be back there. The guy's the problem." Like, what are you going to say?
I should have just said, you know, it's no big deal. He's no low Neal. That's what I should have said.
Go Chargers. Go.
Yeah, there you go.
Fun fact about Charles Haley, we're almost, I think, 4 years to the anniversary of him almost trying to knock me out.
Yeah, that was classic.
Thankfully, he didn't on Radio Row. Thankfully, he didn't, but My smart mouth got me, was writing checks that my rear end wasn't going to be able to cash.
He looked at me
Charles
like,
Charles didn't take as kind to it as Lowe does.
He really didn't. He gave you the look, and you're like, Lowe, don't let this crazy brother get on me.
I was super hungover, too, and I was like, oh, my God, what just happened?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, Lowe,
right.
Lowe, sit right here.
Oh, yeah, and then Chuck came in hammered.
Then Chuck Liddell sat down for an interview and stayed for 2 hours as a co-host. Clearly hammered as well.
Hammered.
And the show really got away from us at that point.
Yeah. Anyway, what'd you think about Charles Haley handing out towels?
Oh, no. Charles Haley, it was a wonderful thing that he did. You know, if there was any Rams fans that came through, I'd be scared. Anybody coming in with, like, Rams gear on, would you go up to them?
Someone in Dallas wearing Rams gear flying to L.A. for the game.
Yeah,
well, if you would see Charles in that situation, you'd probably take the jersey off or you go around him.
I mean, he's still very intimidating. You go right up to him because people like seeing famous people that have fun.
Salem Brand, nice.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Lil. I appreciate when you praise me. It makes me feel good.
Thank you.
A guy of your stature.
Oh, it's nice.
It's really good.
To break it down further, it was nice, though, that you had the example and then the take. You know, I remember when I was in Las Vegas and I saw Marshawn Lynch at the airport.
Yeah.
It was cool. It's really cool. People like seeing famous people at airports.
It was a little weird that he was in the C boarding group, but you know, I didn't want to. I don't want to dog him out
else
for that.
Marshawn, though.
Right.
Might have been C10. Probably last guy on the plane, to be honest.
Probably never even actually checked in.
No.
Was just assigned the number when he showed up.
No doubt.
We got on a flight together, me and Daniel. He's talking about it's good to see people like that. And I'm flying back with him, Joe. And he want to sit next to him or try to hold him in seat. He goes two seats back and doesn't want to sit next to me. So it's interesting when you say that it's good seeing people like that. And I try to hold you a seat.
You got on the plane and tried to hold a seat for dibs. And he just walked past you and went a few rows back.
Yeah, didn't necessarily want to sit next to me.
Any particular reason?
Yes, because I didn't want to be bothered the entirety of the flight. And, you know, looking back and knowing what I know now about Lo'Neal, I probably should have sat next to him. And, you know, I probably should have relished the moments when he kept tapping me on the shoulder as I was just drifting off to sleep in order to introduce me to the two people sitting next to him. I should have been more receptive of the gift he was really giving me, the gift of companionship. Even though I was exhausted, hungover, and maybe looking for an hour of sleep, I was selfish there, Lo, and I'm really sorry for that. I've been regretting it ever since.
But payback is something else. You remember what I ended up doing? Leaving my bag, so I had running through the airport like OJ, and I couldn't catch it, and I had my flip-flop on?
I do remember
Where
that.
Where did you leave your bag?
On the plane, actually. Yeah.
Who leaves their bag
on the bus?
Oh, that's right. It was on the shuttle.
On the shuttle. Yes.
Equally as perturbing.
That's a different one because
go to an airport, you have your normal things that are in your pocket, your cell, your wallet, things of that nature, and then you have one other thing. Now, wait for it. Does anyone know what that one other thing is? I got the answer for you.
What?
It's your luggage.
Great uptick.
How do you get off the bus without your luggage?
Joe, it happens. Hey, trust me.
I don't believe
it does. This is off-brand. You should understand. It should be the bus's fault now.
It actually was my fault.
No. I don't have to agree with this. Who forgets their luggage?
I should have reminded him, Joe. I've been kicking myself ever since.
It's like going to a restaurant and forgetting to order dinner. You just sit down and, you know, just have a night, and then you leave. We forgot to order dinner.
Yeah,
can you believe that? What a humorous story. Happens all the time, Joe.
I think people have left their credit cards at restaurants. I mean,
sure.
It happens all the time. People leave their luggage, you know?
Not sure. No.
Shoot, Bill Romanowski left like $200,000 worth of jewelry on the plane.
Wow. Not surprising. What happened there? Bill had $200,000 worth of jewelry?
Yeah. And he left it, and then he came back, and it was gone. So
that's unfortunate. That's a
very descriptive story.
Yeah, and that story didn't end very well.
It
ended well for someone, probably, not Bill.
Right, exactly. It was a good story, though, don't get me wrong.
Great
you told
story.
It great.
Oh, my
it's just
very
the way it ended.
Very succinct.
I feel
sometimes
bad for Bill.
Is, I mean, it's just, best.
Okay, enough's enough.
Guys. I do want to thank you for sharing that and so many other stories from your NFL playing days, because Joe and I can't really appreciate it never having played in the NFL, let alone had such a great career as you did.
Yeah, but I never got one for the thumb, dude. Never got one for the thumb.
That's true.
That's
he doesn't
well
have
played.
That great moment. You know what?
Yeah.
Since we were going to promise some story time here.
Yes.
Just briefly, because the Saints coming up in a couple minutes. Do you feel a connection to this Patriots-Chargers game? It was so many years ago that you were involved in those back-to-back matchups in the playoffs where you went against Brady in New England. But, you know, you've been retired for a while. LT's been retired for a while. But it's still Phillip and Tom. Like, they're still there. Yeah. Everyone else is pretty much gone. I don't know if there are any players from either team still on those teams from back then.
Gates.
Yeah, Gates is you're right. Gates is unkillable. Gates will never go to the Hall of Fame because he'll never retire. Right. There will never be the 5-year window.
He's had roach too.
But do you feel a connection to this? Like, I know that you watch football as a fan to an extent, but you've played for a bunch of teams. You know a bunch of guys. You have different rooting interests than we do, obviously. But does something like this, are you going to turn this game on this weekend and kind of think back to that and maybe have some? Does that happen? Do you have those moments?
Without a doubt, you do. And it's interesting because this week I've done a lot of interviews and talking about this particular rival and this particular matchup.
You do that one in Vermont. I was bothering you about
that one's today.
That one's today. Thank you.
You know, I'll have the professor this morning. I have the professor. I have an interview with him as well.
Old John Clayton.
Man,
John
lucky Clayton. To have you. What a get for them.
These are big gets.
You know, I remember it like yesterday, Joe, especially when you're a team that you don't go 13-2 and I mean 14-2 and you feel that you have the tiger by the tail. And LT was on the show and he alluded to we were a dominant team. We kind of walked through that year. And
this is 06.
Yeah, and the table's set. The table is set for greatness. It's set that you're going to go ahead and you believe you're going to be in a Super Bowl. And everyone you got you favored. And that game is like yesterday. We're come out and we jump all over them. And it was just, it was like a bad dream. You're watching it unfold from us not running the ball as if at the end of the game, not giving the ball to LT and watching coaches kind of turtle up in that game and then still having the lead and in the interception, Ronald McCree intercepts the ball and you're watching. He's like, okay, when is he going to just get down on the ground? And, you know, it's like 7 or 4 minutes left. And instead he tries to run it back, gets tackled, changed field position. They're now on our 20-yard line. You know, they go on to score, and the rest is history. And then, you know, you have the guy get on the, you know, 50-yard line and start doing the Sean Marion, the lights out, and LT, and guys try to run in the field, and they're taunting us in our own stadium. And it's just like, you're like, okay, you got the win. No need for that. And they're taunting, they're laughing and all that stuff. Because of our arrogance, we allowed that to happen. Then the next year, you're thinking, okay, we come back, we're ready to go. We think it's going to be us again. We get to the playoffs, we get in, Phillip Rivers' knee, you know, my leg and LT's knee, and all of a sudden you realize, man, you win the first playoff game, you limp in, and you're like, man, you're gonna play against that New England team, and unfortunately you don't have all your all man on deck, all hands on deck, and you don't have that. And they get away from you, and you're like, wow, here it is again. And those were two of the better teams that I've ever played on. Tennessee team was good. But this Charger team that I was on, it was better.
So that 2006 season, that made you sick. And let me follow through because I just looked up the playoff bracket. New England beat the Jets in the wild card round. They blew them out. You hosted them as the one seed. You lost 24-21. Now, they went on the following week to lose to Indianapolis, who was a 3 seed. And then Indianapolis, Peyton Manning went to Miami and beat Chicago and Rex Grossman, blowout in the Super Bowl.
That was our Super Bowl.
So you feel that if you had not screwed up the end of that New England game, you beat Indy the following week because you host them, and then you go on to beat the Bears
in
the Super Bowl.
No question. No question. Indianapolis, we had their number. They didn't match up against the 3-4. We dominated that
You guys
team.
Always had Peyton's number,
yes.
Always. Quentin Jammer used to just intercept him on a regular basis.
Left and right. So that year just, it really, really was painful. Painful.
Well, thank you for sharing. We appreciate that. Even though, you know, I know it must be painful. 2007 being relived this weekend. It'll be interesting. Rivers taking on Tom Brady at Foxborough. Beat the bookie 845.
You heard
versus
Phillip.
Dibs.
You
I admire your Dibs. Strength. Your I strength and being able to look back.
You heard Phillip what he said after the game. He goes, 2007. That was his first words that came out after they beat one last weekend.
Golden State Warriors pre- and post-game analyst for NBC Sports Bay Area, 95.7 The Game contributor, the great Gary St. Jean, with us here on 95.7 The Game. St., it's got to be awkward to listen to that, knowing you as a Patriots fan came out on the right end of all of Lo Neal's most tragic NFL moments.
Well, Lo knows I love him. I loved grilling him in the green room at the NBC Bay Area when we were together there.
Sure.
And I'm excited for Sunday. You know, I love this weekend in the NFL. It's special. This is what it's all about. And if you need me, I'll be on the couch.
I love it, Saint. Lock in. It should be a good one with the Chargers taking on the Patriots. Also exciting is the return of DeMarcus Cousins, whether it's Wednesday, Friday, Monday. We know it's coming soon. Just how much does this team need an infusion of life?
Well, you know what, guys? These are good problems. These aren't bad problems. This is fitting in an all-star. And for DeMarcus's hopes, I think he looks terrific, and I think mentally he sounds terrific. So hopefully this is all going to work physically for him. We've never had a guy this big come back in the NBA and really play at his highest level. But we've made so many advances in the medical field with orthopedic surgery. And he's a special, special talent, guys. When you see him as on your team, you're going to see a guy at his size that has phenomenal hands. I mean, as good a set of hands as anybody in the league. He really sees the floor. He's a great defensive rebounder. And, oh, by the way, he can make shots. And so it's going to be interesting how it all fits. The good news is we're halfway. So there's another half to the season, and he gets acclimated. They can figure out the rotation, the minutes, obviously. Like in any sport, he'll pitch count or whatever. He'll play lower minute segments, maybe 3-4 minutes, come out, go back in. And I think it's a shot in the arm for everybody. I think it's just what the doctor ordered for the Warriors.
Certainly, I can't agree with you more. I look at this organization now, and you look at what Boogie Cousins. I think the positive is that now you can throw the ball down into the post, and you have a guy that can score. You no disrespect to Looney and the rest of the guys down there, but now guys are going to have to collapse on him. You're going to have a double team, and at times he's going to be able to kick the ball out. And if they don't double, if he can shoot that, now guys can crash the board. So I think he's going to help bring some stability in this offense as well. My biggest concern right now is the pace, though. As far as him on the transition, getting back down on the other opposite end of the court, defensively and offensively, with the shot clock, with a certain amount of time. Is that one of your concerns as well, to see how Boogie fits in?
Yeah, Lo, you know that playoff basketball, the game slows down. And we get to more half-court play, and we've never had a low-post player like that with the Warriors. So as you noted, he could demand a double-team down there, and he's a phenomenal passer. If you don't double-team him, he could carve you up down there. Now, you're making a great point. I'm not concerned at all about offensive transition. I'm not worried about him getting out on the break. It's about him defensive rebounding, outletting the ball, and then he'll be what we call the second trailer or the big that's up on the top of the key to change the ball side to side, to dump it down, whatever, or dribble handoff. A big key will be defensive transition and pick and roll defense for him. It's something the Warriors have not done as much because with Jones, Looney, and Bell, they could switch the pick and roll. I'm going to take you all the way back to Andrew Bogut, who could not switch the pick and roll. So they had with different coverages versus switching, where you're switching because you don't want to give the team on offense a rotation where they can find an open man for a three. If you can't switch, your big can step out and hedge or shade or whatever terminology you want to use on the ball handler. And then when the ball, man on small on the ball recovers, you go back to your own. That means everybody else sinks and recovers. I think it'll work out because he's an extremely bright player. I loved what Klay Thompson said post-game. He said, hey, I had the honor to play with him with USA Basketball. And he is one heck of a player. So I think the guys are excited. I think you're going to see a guy for his own sake. He's just hoping he's healthy and plays well because he's auditioning around the NBA because there's going to be a lot of free agent money out there. And I hope he helps us win a championship and everything works out great for him.
Gary St. Jean with us here on 95.7 The Game. A bit of a bizarre situation unfolding that could have a great, great outcome for the Warriors, however far-fetched it may be considered at the moment. So Patrick McCall wants out of Golden State, and here come the Cleveland Cavaliers. They give him this 2-year, $6 million deal. The Warriors don't match it, so now McCall is a member of the Cavs, yet he suspiciously plays just 3 games and is then released. Some people think there are some shenanigans going on here. Toronto now stepping into the equation. They are going to sign Patrick McCall. But there's a grievance being filed on behalf of the Warriors that maybe this was predetermined as a way to get him out of Golden State. Some are saying that if Cleveland is found guilty here, they could be punished via the loss of a draft pick. Well, Saint, if they end up with the number one draft pick, does that mean the Warriors would have the number one overall pick?
Oh, boy, you guys are dreaming early. holy mackerels. No way would they give him a number one pick. Maybe a fine or a future pick or something like that. But at the end of the day, guys, general managers and front office people, you have a collective bargaining agreement that you live by. Your job is to study that and try to stretch it, bend it, circumvent it the best way you can. Maybe they found a loophole, and I think something they're going to have to do in the future collective bargaining agreement is when you sign a guy like this, it cannot be all non-guaranteed money. There has to be some guaranteed in that first year, and I think that'll be more restrictive. I'd like to tell you that this never takes place between agents and teams, but this is what goes on. You recreate relationships between an agent and a team so that if we do you a favor now and take this guy, keep us in mind for the future when we're trying to get another one of your free agents. So this goes on all the time. It's got a little notoriety. Patrick McCaw, I hope things work out for him. Lowell will tell you this. We take a lot of advice when we're young. You hope you get great advice. Sometimes you don't.
Yeah.
And the grass is not always greener. I hope everything works out for him. And the Warriors will be fine without Patrick McCaw.
I think they're going to pull through, Saint. And there is
some way.
There is some question, though, about the 15th and final roster spot. If DeMarcus Cousins comes back and healthily plays and fills that center role, where might they turn and what sort of a veteran do you think might be available at that juncture?
Well, they've got to say to themselves, hey, do we want another big? Are we satisfied with the size we have? Looney's done a good job. He's given you whatever he can, but in reality, he is a four. And the same thing with Bell. So maybe they'll want another big. You know, you guys have heard the rumor that Chicago may buy out Robin Lopez, for example. There's some other names out there, O'Quinn in Indiana. I don't know, you know, but if some small comes about, a wing or whatever that they really, really like, you can never have too much shooting. And the way the Warriors play, 36 assists the other night against the Knicks, that's what I'm looking for tonight, guys. I love the way Clay, obviously, Clay with four dribbles with 43 points, but I
amazing.
Love the way that the rest of the guys were moving the ball. That's infectious play. That's just total unselfish play. And when they play like that and they defend, there's no debate. They are the best team in the NBA.
I couldn't agree with you more, St. Louis. St. Louis, you watch a lot of teams, and when their superstars are out, you look at the Celtics. Sometimes they struggle. You look at certain teams, when they're out, they step up and play a little better. This young Laker team now, you look at Kuzma, yeah. You look at this guy, 43, they're starting to seem like find a rhythm without LeBron James. How deadly and how serious could they be just in the West? Not necessarily they're ready for the Warriors, but what type of threat do they pose?
It's a good question.
Well, I tell you guys, and look where they are right now, and you know, they were up as high as 4 or 5, and now you're looking at being down there at 6, 7, 8.
Sure.
Obviously, LeBron, and let's compare LeBron's injury to Steph's. It's going to be about the same time frame in terms of numbers of games that he comes back. Now, here's the key. When he comes back, he makes all those young players better. Can they stand alone and get it done? Not yet. Ingram has been really up and down. Ball has been really up and down. The steady one has been Kuzma. He's the key.
Sure.
I like Josh Hart, the young guy from Villanova. You know, obviously, we have nothing but praise for McGee, and they picked up Chandler, who thought about coming to the Warriors. So they give him a nice duo at the 5 spot. But without LeBron, it's not going to happen.
Gary St. Jean is brought to you by Lenardi's Supermarkets with 8 Bay Area locations. See their specials for this week online at Lenardi's.com. Lenardi's, quite simply, the best. Speaking of the best, Gary St. Jean with us here on 95.7 The Game. Saint, we always appreciate the time. Have a tremendous weekend. Enjoy the games. We'll catch up soon.
Hey, fellas, now if you want to meet me at Lunardi's, they have wine tasting here in Danville.
Ooh.
And I like to frequent that spot. We could have a nice mid-afternoon gathering.
You're the
best, like that idea. A wine flight and a cheese flight with the same one, Gary St. Jean.
See you, fellas.
Spectacular.
Bye, Saint.
Thank you, Saint.
He's the best.
You were close when you said Saint's the best. He's the second best behind our very own Lorenzo Neal. So We need to.
Sorry, Lo.
Yeah, we need to modify that going forward.
Boy.
Thanks for joining us, Gary. You're the second best.
Is everyone buttoned up? We're about an hour away from Lo versus Dibs, round two, part two. This is the playoff installment. It's the second round of the playoffs. Is everyone buttoned up there?
Yes.
I kind of have that feeling. You know that feeling I get sometimes when a segment's going to be coming up, but yet no one's prepared or ready with any of the actual information needed. Do we have the records and everything we need for that?
Yeah, I have the records, and I've decided that this week for the picks, I'm just going to let Lo pick and then sit back and just admire his excellence. And I'm just put me down for an 0-4 because I'm going to get all of them wrong, and we're just going to see how great Lo goes. Four games. I see Lo going 5-0.
Is this the closest you've ever come to wanting to punch him?
No.
No, this is nothing compared to other times.
Oh, no.
It's a good answer.
Okay.
Maybe the time I cut in front of you with my car, which was, I was wrong to do that as well. I don't know if I have said that yet.
Was that recently?
No, that was, remember the time where he and I almost collided out in the intersection because I darted out in the intersection.
So it was you, your fault.
Oh, clearly
because
my fault.
Back then it was all about how it was his fault. Now it's your fault.
That was before I saw the light and realized what a turd I've been all these years.
This is great. I'm just sitting here admiring Daniel because he's really good at this. He's holding it. I'm surprised that he's staying so consistent with this. It's nauseating, but at the same sense, he's doing a hell of a job, Joe.
To get to this, as we lead into Beat the Bookie, your Take Your Pick poll question brought to you by FH Daily Chevrolet. Which underdog is most likely to win outright this weekend? The Colts, Cowboys, Chargers, or Eagles? You can vote on the website, 957thegame.com. Let us know what you think. Beat the Bookie in just a minute. But first, here we go. We've got two pairs of tickets before they go on sale to see the one and only Calvin Brodus, a.k.a. Snoop Dogg, at Oracle Arena Friday, April 19th to celebrate the 25th anniversary of Doggy Style. Special guests include E40, Too Short, DJ Quick, The Dog Pound, and Mac Mall. Tickets are going to go on sale next Friday, January 18th, 10 a.m., LiveNation.com. That's LiveNation.com. So you can win these tickets here now before they even go on sale. There's a kicker, though. It's a trivia question today. So we've got two pairs. First two callers to get the following question correct. First two callers to get the following question correct will win the tickets. The last time the Kansas City Chiefs won a playoff game at home at Arrowhead Stadium, who did they beat? 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. The last time the Chiefs won a home playoff game, who did they beat? That answer might be coming up in just a second as we bring you Beat the Bookie.
Now, it's time for
Beat the Bookie with Joe Fortenbaugh.
Thank you, Greg. Last week, 1-3-1. Disappointing to say the least. On the season, 81 victories, 71 defeats, 3 ties. Just a hair above profitability. Only a few weeks to go, only a handful of picks left. We're going to get interesting here because these aren't just your standard picks. There are some more in-depth picks that are going to be made with these four games. A reminder first, clean sweep last weekend in the wild card round for the underdogs. Dogs have now covered the spread in 10 straight playoff games dating back to last season. So you have to ask yourself, heading into the divisional round, if this trend's going to continue or if the favorites are going to bounce back. After all, home favorites in the divisional round, 21-35-1 against the spread since 2003. That's good for a covering percentage of just 38%. Do you want to let that affect your decision-making or not? Here come the picks. All right, game number one. It's the Indianapolis Colts at the Kansas City Chiefs. Saturday, 1:35 Pacific, right here on 95.7 The Game at Arrowhead Stadium. The Chiefs are laying 5.5 with a total, an astronomical total of 57. The Chiefs haven't won a playoff game in Kansas City since Joe Montana threw for 276 yards and a touchdown in a 27-24 wild card win over the Pittsburgh Steelers back on January 8, 1994. Between that little nugget and Andy Reid's penchant for coming up short in the biggest possible spots, you have to exercise at least a modicum of caution when considering laying 5.5 points against an Indianapolis Colts squad that has won 10 of its last 11. Now, based on the total and the spread in this one, we're projecting a Colts team total of 26 points. That's an over-under for one team. The Colts team total will be 26 points, and that is precisely where we are going to strike. Andrew Luck and company averaged 29.8 points per game on the road this season and could very well find themselves in either A, a shootout against the league's top offense, and or B, a deep hole that requires taking it to the air for the better portion of the second half as they attempt to play catch up. Either way, I like Indy's offense to score early and often in this one, so bet the over of 26 total points for the Indianapolis Colts.
Go Chargers, go!
Sensible. Game number two, the Dallas Cowboys at the Los Angeles Rams, Saturday, 5:15 p.m. Pacific, Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. The Rams are laying 7 with a total of 49.5. This is a monster number to lay for a Rams team that has covered just 4 point spreads over their last 13 outings. But what do we make of a Dallas squad that went just 3-5 on the road this season while scoring an average of only 17 points per game? I think Rams defensive coordinator Wade Phillips versus Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott is the most critical matchup in this showdown, and to that end, I'll side with Phillips. In my opinion, Dallas isn't built for either a shootout or to come from behind in a high-scoring affair, and in a game with a total of damn near 50 points, it's going to take a big effort from Prescott on the road in order to keep his team close. I'm thinking the Rams jump on him early and never look back. I'm actually going to lay the touchdown with Los Angeles here.
Go Chargers, go!
Yep. Game number three, hey, guess what? It's the Los Angeles Chargers at the New England Patriots. Sunday, 10:05 a.m. Pacific, Gillette Stadium. New England's laying 4 with a total of 48. Now, there are two bets here, so pay attention. Of the 16 teams in the AFC, no franchise won more games during the regular season than the Los Angeles Chargers. And the reward for such an achievement? A wild card road trip 3,000 miles away at Baltimore, followed by a 3,000-mile trip back to Los Angeles, followed by a 3,000-mile trip to New England for the AFC divisional round. And don't forget the fact that last week against the Ravens and this week against the Patriots, the Chargers drew the early time slot, which means they're playing at 10 a.m. body clock time. With the exception of last Sunday against the Ravens, the Chargers have started slow and lost the first quarter in every single big game they've played this season. New England, with 2 weeks of rest and a perfect 8-0 record at home this season, not to mention 6 point spread covers in those aforementioned 8 games, is not to be trifled with early. Take note, the Patriots are 38-16-2 against the spread over the last 56 home games and 6-1 against the spread over their last 7 divisional round playoff games. Generally, this team gets a bye. They get 2 weeks to get ready. They play, they win, they cover. We're going to lay the 4 with New England for the game. We're going to lay the 2 with New England in the first half. Two bets here. Patriots -4 for the game. Patriots -2 in the first half.
Go Chargers, go!
Yes, yes, go Chargers, go. And finally, the Eagles at the Saints Sunday, 1:40 p.m. Pacific, the Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans, the Saints -8 with a total of 51.5. These two squads met in the Big Easy back on November 18th in a 55-point affair that saw the Saints destroy a Carson Wentz-led Eagles team 48-7. But a lot has changed since that abomination for the Eagles. For starters, Super Bowl champ Nick Foles is back under center for a Philadelphia club that has won and covered the number in each of their last 4 outings. However, slowing down Mitchell Trubisky is a much different challenge than slowing down Drew Brees. To that end, in the 7 home games in which the Saints have played their starters this season, remember, Game 8, final game of the year, they rested everybody. In the 7 home games the starters have played, New Orleans averaged 37 points and 416 total yards of offense per outing, hanging 40 or more points in 4 of those 7 games. Take note that the over is 6-0 in New Orleans' last 6 home playoff games and 21-9-1 in the Saints' last 31 home games overall. I'm sure you get my drift by this point. We're playing the over of 51.5 total points, Saints-Eagles. Eagles will get there themselves. 55-0, your final from New Orleans as Drew Brees cries and then retires on the field after the game. For those who like to play the 6-point teasers, we lost our teaser last week, so that means on the season the 6-point teasers are 11-7-1. This is an obvious one. I'm going to take the Rams and tease them from 7 down to 1 against Dallas. I'm going to pair that with the Saints, teasing them from 8 down to 2 against Philadelphia. Those are two very, very meaty teaser numbers. You're basically just playing the numbers when you play teasers. We can explain that in more detail down the road, but that's what we're thinking. Divisional round playoffs this weekend. Obviously, you two don't want to tip your hand as to who you are going to be playing, but we asked this question earlier in the show. I'll ask it again for those who didn't hear. Who has the most to lose this weekend? Whether it be an individual, whether it be a team, whether it be a unit like a defense or an offense. Looking around at the eight teams set to kick off this weekend, who has the most to lose, in your opinion, Dennis?
Well, I think I had the wrong answer earlier, but I'm going to defer to Lowe on this and just, you know, keep it brief so that when Lowe gives his answer, he can stretch out and give you actually the real insight of a former NFL player.
The Lowe analysis.
Yeah, and that's what we all crave, Joe, is that sort of Lowe analysis.
Analysis.
That's also good,
there it
too.
Is.
Yeah, whichever one Lowe prefers is the one I'll go with. Jared Goff is the answer I gave, and I'll just stick by it and say that I think that his future as a quarterback, I know he's in line for a big payday in a couple of years. You need to win these home playoff games. If they lose two playoff games at home in successive years with a Rams team that we know has a pretty small window with free agents coming up and the contracts that they're going to have to eventually give out, it's not now or never for Jared Goff, but this is a big moment for him. So I'm going to say that Jared Goff has the most to lose, but I'm probably wrong.
Interesting. Most to lose this weekend, in your opinion, whether it's an individual, a coach, a team, what have you.
I think it's Andy Reid, in my opinion.
Ah, you're right.
If you look at Andy Reid, his playoff success hasn't been necessarily great, especially when he came here to Kansas City. Last year, they were, you know, Alex Smith, and you changed quarterbacks. Now you went to Mahomes, and now you think, okay, now it's time. You look at that whole organization. They haven't won, you talked about, a playoff game since 93 or 94, if that's the year. So I think this is a team and the organization and a coach. They are, I think they have the most to lose and out of all these playoff games.
Snoop Dogg ticket winners, congratulations to Nicholas in Napa and Guillermo in San Bruno.
Or is it Bruno in San Guillermo? I'm not sure. Oh, no, I think you had it right. Darn it, that's on me. I got it, Low. Yeah, I blew that one.
Go Chargers, go!
They 20. Won the tickets. The correct answer to the trivia question was the Pittsburgh Steelers, the team the Chiefs beat the last time they won a home playoff game, 1990. What the hell year did I say it was?
94, I think. It might have been the end of the 93 season.
January 8th, 1994. Joe Montana and the Chiefs over the Steelers. That is unbelievable.
I'm trying
to think, when answering that question, what would be like the hottest of the hot takes this weekend? Like, who's going to be the biggest loser is the person that's getting crushed by the media. So say, for example, the Chargers go to New England and win. That storyline isn't going to focus on the Chargers going to the AFC Championship game. That fourth storyline is, I'm going to tell you right now, the end of Belichick and Brady.
Right.
That would be it. They're not even going to make it to the AFC Championship game. How many in a row have they been to? Like seven or something? It's insane. So if they lose this game, that's your hot take out of that. It's not going to be Phillip Rivers and the Chargers in the AFC Championship game. It's not going to talk about what a great job Anthony Lynn has done. It's going to focus solely on the Patriots and the end of that dynasty. The Eagles-Saints game. If the Eagles win, you'll probably get the positive angle there because everyone is kind of enthralled with this Nick Foles underdog story, but you'll also get the wow. What a great season for naught. But no one can stop the Eagles. I'm not saying that because I'm a fan. You know that would be the line.
Saying.
Coming off the Bears game, people focus on the missed field goal, but a lot of it was, oh, you know, you can't stop Nick Foles. So there, I don't think you have a huge loser in the Saints. It would be considered a devastating season, but it's the right opponent to lose to if you want to avoid criticism. The Rams game is what I find to be interesting because if the Cowboys go in there and beat the Rams, and I called this earlier in the week, and I'm going to say it again now. The hot takes on Monday is going to be Sean McVay's overrated. We're going to spend, and I can see this happening, we're going to spend an entire week talking about how everyone wants the next Sean McVay. The Bengals are going to hire Zach Taylor. That's Sean McVay's quarterback's coach. He was playing quarterback in Nebraska just a few years ago. Like, the Bengals are just going to wait and hire him. If you have ever smelled Sean McVay as he's walked by you, you're getting interviews for head coaching jobs. It is unbelievable. Just being his friend, just associating with him is getting you a job. So the Bengals are going to hire this guy. All week it's been about how wonderful McVay is. If he loses this game to the Cowboys and is now 0-2 in the playoffs, 0-2 at home, people are going to turn on him. It's just a matter of which talking head wants to come flying out first to say, McVay's overrated. McVay's overrated. You heard it here first. I'm telling you, he's overrated. That's going to be the talking point. And then there's the one you brought up. And I think that could be the only thing that rivals the McVay talking point would be Andy Reid losing again. The Chiefs losing again at home. Andy Reid again falling flat on his face. If it went in conjunction with a McVay loss, You'd be sitting here having everyone tell you, McVay's overrated. Everyone should be looking for the next Frank Reich. That's what people should be doing, is looking for the next Frank Reich, because look at the Colts. The Colts are fantastic.
Yeah.
Those will be your talking points right there. I'm already laying out Monday's show. So, you know, you can just take this segment and put it on repeat if those things happen. Favorites probably go 4-0, and then, you know, we just get ready to preview championship weekend, which will have us at Hooters down in Campbell. More on that after the break as we get set to hear from Steve Kerr and Tim Roy. Big final hour in store for you here on 95.7 The Game.
Klay Thompson and the Warriors dominated the Knicks.
Thompson falling out of bounds. Hits a three in the corner.
Could the champs make it three wins in a row against the Chicago Bulls? Tune in today to find out. Coverage starts with Warriors Live at 6. Tip off at 7:30. Only on the home of the NBA champs. 95.7.